Hello and welcome to the Bookshelf Conversation, the podcast segment of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors, artists, musicians, filmmakers, anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture, because that's our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. We've all experienced games like this, a long drawn-out affair, a rain delay, a one-sided contest, and the broadcaster will invariably pick on a trivial statistic, and you may think to yourself, where do they get this information? It's so arcane. It's so bizarre. Who puts together stuff like this? Well, in many cases, it's the media guides for the various ball teams, but then where do they get their information from? Could very well be they get it from a book like The Baseball Maniac's Almanac. And today we'll be talking with Jason Katzman, who had a hand in the latest edition, the fifth edition of this book. And by an amazing coincidence, Jason just happened to be the editor for my book, Hank Greenberg in 1938. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Jason Katzman. Jason Katzman, Happy New Year and welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thanks so much for having me, Ron.
So, a book like this, what is the best use of a book like this, would you say? Is it for research? Is it for trivia contests? Is it for bar bets?
Well, I grew up before the internet age and had the old Macmillan baseball encyclopedias and used to just comb through those for hours. And I think baseball fans enjoy learning the history and seeing the stats. I mean, that's one of the joys of the game. Now we are in the digital age, so a lot of the information is available online. But I think that one of the great things about this book is it pretty much covers the entire history. It's handheld. You want to look up any random fact. Definitely a good trivia book. Definitely good for arguing and having conversations and going back and forth with people, but also for those getting into the game and seeing names that they may not be familiar with and learning more about those who paved the way for the players of today. And I think it's really definitely something that fans young and old can appreciate.
Well, one of the nice features about this is the table of contents is very comprehensive, so you can pretty much look up any topic you want in the table of contents rather than having to thumb through the entire book or look in an index.
Yeah, we're very lucky about that. It's definitely an extensive one. I think it starts on Roman numeral V, page 5, and goes to Triple X, so 5 to 30. Yeah, we tried to give as much information, and everything is broken down in sections so you can know exactly what you're looking for and just hit all the bases.
So you mentioned the encyclopedia before. What would you say is the difference between an encyclopedia and an almanac?
I would say that the encyclopedia is giving all the specifics, the details of scorecards, of the final standings, how playoffs unfolded. For our almanac specifically, we tried to change it up, and rather than just seeing how each team finished over a 40-year period, you get fun little things throughout. And one of the things that we tried to do specifically in this book over the past two editions is bring in more of today's metrics, advanced statistics, things that people would be interested in looking up. You look at an encyclopedia, you're going to have the details, but we've included the best wins above replacement by decade for pitchers, quality starts, and bringing wins above replacement, wins above replacement with all those types of things that are becoming more well-known and researched. So I feel as though in encyclopedia, you're going to have all the black and white data, and we try to, especially with this one, jazz it up so you get a lot of information, but a lot of fun little tidbits that you may not have been able to find in that type of book.
So how difficult is it to go back historically, go back in the 20s and 30s, the times of Honus Wagner and Babe Ruth and even Mickey Mantle, and bring those statistics, those advanced metrics, as you say, up to date?
Well, thankfully, Baseball Reference has a lot of information, and we're able to access a lot of data through that site, as well as other periodicals. And one of the good things is there's special searches that we can put together some of this data. A lot of times, to be completely honest, we use, I think one of the instances is in the fifth edition, we put together the highest ratio of three true outcomes for a season, like home run, walk, and strikeout. And for that, we had to probably put together 10,000 names and slowly, by hand, put it together and find out who had the highest ratio. So some of the information, you can just plug it in onto a computer or look it up on a site or in a previously published book and get the information, while others, we had to get a little bit more creative.
Now, you mentioned this is the fifth edition. When Bert Randolph Sugar, who passed away in 2012, I believe, came up with the original concept, how is that received?
It was received very well. I know that Bob Costas had wonderful things to say. We've kept his blurb on the front cover of the book for over the editions. Jeremy Schapp had very nice things to say. And the best way to put it is we've published the fifth edition. So if it wasn't received well, if people weren't interested, it wouldn't have continued on as it has. I first worked on this for the second edition in 2010. So a decade later, it's still going strong, which is wonderful to see.
Now, you mentioned getting back to the advanced metrics. I don't know if you've done any studies about the demographic of the people who purchase this book as far as age goes. I wonder if these are an audience that skews younger or older.
Well, I don't think we're able to find the exact data in terms of who's purchasing our book specifically for age. But as I'm sure you know, baseball does have the highest average age of a fan. So one of the good things that we felt about this project, and specifically in terms of adding additional material, is the fans who are maybe a little bit older can get the information that they so enjoy, but also get a bit of a vision into what's going on today and be able to absorb that information. And for the younger generation, they have that information that they're more familiar with, but then can see statistics that have been looked at and seen as the gospel for centuries.
Gospel, it's interesting you use that word, because gospel had it that certain of the older players were the greatest of all time. And now perhaps in light of these new statistics, people are saying, well, compared with some other players, maybe not so much.
You see, I think we live in the type of, especially today, where who's the greatest? Everybody wants to put this person's the greatest, who's better, this or that. And I think these numbers can give you a lot of detail and in terms of on paper, you can get a feel, but the game has changed so much that I think one of the important things, and that's why there's a lot of information in this book by decade, where you can see how somebody dominated for a 10-year period, and while their numbers may not equate to somebody who's playing today, for that decade, they were the top. And we know that he didn't have schlubs at that time playing, so you're able to get a feel for every single generation, the type of skills they had. And as we all know, things have changed. I think at one point I did research for another project, and we found out that I believe we took the murderer's row of the Yankees and the 100 loss recent season of the Houston Astros, and I believe one, maybe two of the murderer's row Yankees were 6 foot or over, and Jose Altuve was the only Astro who is under 6 foot. So you have to take those types of things into account, that the game has changed and the type of player has changed. And if you had the murderer's row Yankees, 5'10", 180 pounds soaking wet versus a 6'5", 220 pound pitcher, he may overpower them just based on that.
Well, that goes to the joke about how would Babe Ruth or Ty Cobb do today, and the answer is, well, they'd be over 100 years old, so probably not so well. But it is a question of also, like you say, it's a question of fairness. Is it fair to compare, given the fact that conditions have changed over the years, intercontinental travel, through different time zones, beginning games later in the afternoon, night games, the prevalence of night games, the prevalence of long games. Is it fair to compare games and players today to those of Ruth's time?
The way that I see it is it's the positive is bringing names that maybe people aren't as familiar with and looking at the players of today and putting them up to those of who played 25, 50, 100 years ago, bringing the history full circle. I think that's one of the good things, because there may be players that, like I said, you're not as familiar with. However, what's the line? You can't look at yesterday with today's eyes. So there's no way that you can take somebody from 50 years ago and say, well, this guy today is better than him. You don't know what the situation was. Jump into basketball in terms of the defense, hand checking, and the rules have changed. Even in football, the rules have changed from a wide receiver and a defensive player, that so much is, and you can even touch on baseball with what's going on with the actual baseball and how things are changing with that. As a New York Mets fan, seeing Pete Alonso shatter the team record, which had stood since Todd Hundley and Carlos Beltran hit 41, and he blew it out of the water. If we go back 10 years, does the same Pete Alonso do that with that baseball in that situation? And I don't think so. But you can't really play that game.
Changing it up a little bit from a business point of view. Now, again, this is the fifth edition. How difficult is it to resell what is essentially an updated version of the same material?
One of the keys to that is, as I said earlier, you're going to do a lot of revising and updating, and you're putting in new information, new material. But that's where adding new metrics, new statistics, and trying to keep it interesting. We've taken out, there was a lot of unnecessary information, kind of trimmed some fat in the book that probably wouldn't apply or wouldn't be interesting to fans of today.
Such as?
And there was a lot of New York specific information. I don't think people were as interested in how many times Billy Martin was ejected from a game, what Babe Ruth's salary was at different points in his career. There was some information on that, and we tried to take some of that out. There was an instance of players who played for several New York teams, and rather than just have that as is, we looked at somebody who played for the Seattle Pilots and Milwaukee Brewers, played for the Milwaukee Braves and Atlanta Braves, that type of thing, to make it of a more national interest. But there was instances where we had to even go back and change some of the information in terms of there was players with 100 more strikeouts than hits. And based on the fact that players are striking out at a lot higher rate, we changed it to 200.
Hmm.
So certain tweaks here and there, as well as adding that new information. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you do have a template of each edition from one to the next, but we try to make it so that even if you had the third edition or the fourth edition, there's going to be so much information in this brand new one that not only will it be revised and updated, but you're going to have things that you may not have seen or statistics that you didn't even think were possible, but they'll be collected.
And what about the design? The font size is fairly small, but I imagine if it were much bigger, it would change the format of the book. Maybe you'd have to go to a larger trim size, not to mention a bunch of other pages.
Absolutely, and as I know you're familiar with the Macmillan, the old Macmillan baseball encyclopedias, they're the type of thing that you dropped it on your foot and you're going to have to go to the doctor because you broke a couple of toes. It was a tome of a book, so we didn't want to have it blown up. We like the fact that you can hold it in a single hand without having to worry about dropping it and breaking your tiled floor. Yes, the information, the names, the font is a little bit small, but we wanted to compact everything so that you got as much information as possible. And one of the fun things, of course, with this type of font is, as we revise and update, going through to make sure there's the right amount of periods and spacing and that type of thing. So I guess for my eyes specifically, it would be great if it was a little bit bigger, but I think with the amount of information in this book, having it any bigger would just defeat the purpose of having a nice little product and a nice little packaging for fans to enjoy.
One of the things I noticed you talk about nice little product is, I don't know if it's just me, but the subtitles of books these days seem to be getting tremendously long. The title of this book is The Baseball Maniac's Almanac, 5th Edition, and the subtitle is The Absolutely, Positively, and Without Question, Greatest Book of Facts, Figures, and Astonishing Lists Ever Compiled. And obviously this is not the only book that goes. I was just reading Kevin Cook's book about the game between the Cubs and Phillies back in 79, and it has a similarly very long title, and his previous book about World Series heroes also has a very long title. Is that the way it's going to be these days?
Well, surprisingly, this subtitle, I think, has lasted through all the editions. But we have noticed in book publishing a trend, SEO, search engine optimization. A lot of people are looking for books online, doing searches, and the more creative a title is, it could mean the more difficult it is for somebody to find the book. And having keywords in the title and subtitle will help people find it.
Interesting.
And it one of the frustrating things is some of the most well-written titles and subtitles of books of past probably wouldn't get past the publisher because it doesn't have enough search engine optimization. So I think it's as the digital age has become so prevalent with people finding and purchasing products, SEO specifically with book title and subtitles has become immensely important.
And that's
we've even seen, yeah.
That's obviously something that wasn't a consideration in the pre-internet age, because you used to have titles like Mickey Mantle, you know, Boy Hero, or something like that. You know, very short, very to the point. And I also imagine the longer subtitles play into the design of the book cover.
Absolutely, and you really need to take that into account when most people are going to be looking at the little thumbnail on Amazon. And on Barnes & Noble and on any other website, they're going to be searching for these types of books. And you're going to have a strong design that, yeah, people are looking at the thumbnail. And if they can't get a feel for what the cover looks like, then they may continue searching. So it's kind of it's a tricky double side, because you need to get as much search engine optimization in your title and subtitle, but you also have to make sure that the couple of seconds that somebody's going to look at the book cover, they can get a feel for the project and what it's all about, and hopefully read further.
The credit line on the fifth edition says, edited by Bert Randall Sugar with Ken Samuelson. Now, Ken is quite prolific in the baseball book industry, but he deferred to you on this. When you have that width in the credit, what exactly does that mean? I know it varies from book to book, but in a book such as this, what does that mean?
Specifically in this one, unfortunately, with the passing of Bert Sugar, if we're talking about the fourth edition, Ken, who, as I previously mentioned, the Macmillan Encyclopedia, he edited it, and the joke I always use is he's forgotten more baseball knowledge than I'll ever have. He came in and was able to revise and update, and, like I had been doing, add and subtract material. And normally when you see width, that can often mean, if you have a book with a very prominent name, celebrity or not, width essentially is covering the fact that this is the person that's helping them out and working with them. You see, and it's two people working, or more than two people working together, but with width, it's essentially you got the name selling the product and the person who's going to be working with them, and depending on project to project, how much more work they do than others.
And as you say, in a project like this where the main editor has passed away, the burden falls on the withy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Ken was nice enough to lend his name, because he also did help with this fifth edition in terms of being a sounding board when adding new material and adjusting statistics that were already in the book. So he definitely helped with this and was kind enough to keep his name on it so that I didn't have to include mine.
And we have been talking with Jason Kasman, who worked on the Baseball Maniacs Almanac 5th Edition, the absolutely, positively, and without greatest book. I knew I couldn't get that in one breath. The absolutely, positively, and without question, greatest book of facts, figures, and astonishing lists ever compiled. Jason, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Always a pleasure, Ron. Thank you so much.
Just to let you know, Saturday, January 25th, is Sabre Day. It's the day when chapters of the Society for American Baseball Research all across the country, and perhaps even around the world where there are chapters, will hold meetings. It's a great day of fun. There are interviews with authors and other panelists. It's a great time. Admission is free. I will be participating in the one in my neighborhood at the Yogi Berra Museum from 1 to 4 o'clock. The topic of my presentation will be the Garden State All-Stars, major league players who had great careers, who were born in New Jersey. So for more information, visit yogiberramuseum.org, and I hope to see you there. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, etc., drop me a line at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. And for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews, as always, visit ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. Discovered this land.